Live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, you may all be aware of the developments with the speaker. Well, I don't even know whether we can call her former yet, but Nosiviwe Mapisa Ngagula, whose home was raided on Friday. Lots of allegations about the fact that she was meant to be arrested. Then it wasn't the case. So we hear now our reporter, Katlego Segoto, has been watching the story for us. Katlego, thank you so much for us for making time for us. Let's take it back to Friday, and we'll then talk about the court appearance today by her legal representatives. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pamelo. Certainly. So, I mean, it all started last week, and it was actually rather on the Tuesday when the raid by the Hawks, initiated by the Independent Directorate, took place at her home in Bruma in Johannesburg. And at the time, it was all very hush-hush. It wasn't clear if that indeed was a raid, but Kaya News was actually first on the scene there, and we did report widely that it was a raid that was happening at her home. And then fast forward to Friday, when there was confusion around whether the speaker would be appearing at the Pretoria Central Police Station, and then, you know, subsequent to that, then appearing in court. But this did not happen. And, you know, lots of confusion around what was happening, where she was at the time. And a very strong statement coming from Parliament that very Friday, clarifying that she had not been arrested, that she hadn't even presented herself at a police station. She was at home with her family, and that her lawyers actually had indeed on Friday filed an urgent application to interdict any imminent arrest of the speaker, and that's what brought us to the events that we saw unfold today.
We got word of the fact that she says she didn't authorize, or she was not at least happy with the raid in her home. Are we certain that she wasn't there? I wasn't sure whether the reports were clear on whether there was, you know, her, whether she was in the premises at the time when the raid was happening.
Yes, I mean, that was there was a lot of confusion there in terms of whether she was there or not. But looking at the proceedings from today, it appears that she was, although one of the biggest arguments of her defense today was that part of their urgent application to have her not arrested was that the defense, her defense feels that the NPA's actions so far indicate people who want to create the sense of urgency around her arrest, around the search at her home, leaving her without a legal representative in those moments, and therefore perhaps putting her in a position where she might make utterances that may leave her incriminating herself. So lots of confusion around whether she was there, but certainly one the defense is challenging is that the urgency that the NPA seems to be creating is one that would leave their client, which is the speaker, you know, not represented and without her chosen attorney.
And so how did the court end today? When are we going to hear the court's ruling on this one?
Yes, so the application, you know, you could hear from the judge trying to speed up today's processes, but really struggling, but also trying to make sure that both sides have ample time to present their cases. So it really went on quite late until about 6 o'clock this evening. Very unusual, because the judge throughout the day had been really dismissing a lot of applications, but nonetheless heard both sides. And the judge has, well, the judgment will be, is scheduled to be delivered next week, Tuesday.
Thanks very much for that, Katlego Segoto, there watching that story for us. And of course, when that does happen, we will get her to give us an update on that. Listening into this conversation is our legal expert, Mpumelelo Zikalala. Thank you so much for your time, Mpumelelo. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Fiona. So good evening to your listeners.
Let's talk about the crux of what Mapisa Ngagula's legal representatives were trying to get at today. What were they asking the court to do?
They were basically saying, don't arrest me or don't arrest our client up until you provided a full copy of the docket so you can be able to view it and check whether is there a real allegation that you need to answer to, or these are just frivolous allegations which are meant to tarnish their client's name. So this is basically why they were saying, we need the content of the docket. We need to see the evidence. We need to be able to prepare so that if there's anything that we need to defend, then we'll be able to deal with it. Now, also, the bone of contention was the search warrant which was executed to say, is it legally compliant? Is it in line with the Constitution, in line with the Criminal Procedure Act? The evidence that was collected there can be utilized at a later stage. Basically saying to the court, decide on that particular matter now, rather than deciding later, which may be a practice which is unusual, but the court will not engage in unnecessarily or without any compelling reason.
So would that, you know, is that common practice? Do they have any leg to stand on to insist on seeing the docket before they, and I know the word allow is not quite the right word, but before they are happy to cooperate with the NPA with this arrest?
Not at all. Remember that she hasn't been charged as yet, so
yes.
It's only rumour. The investigations were taking place. So why do you want a copy of a docket when investigations are still moving? There may be information that we still require, information that we need to secure first before we move on and effect the arrest. Because once we do that, we will know that we're going to have a very limited chance in order to collect our evidence. So it may be a situation of jumping the gun for now and asking for a certain relief which is not yet permissible in law, but that may be utilized or may be persuaded by the order that was received by the president against Mr. Jacob Zuma. However, those facts are completely different. The prosecution body was a private individual. In this case, it is individuals that are mandated by the Constitution to then prosecute. So how then do you go to the court and say to them, do not arrest me, do not prosecute me because I think this is frivolous? When they use a dispute resolution for the forum, which is the court, in which we'll be able to ventilate all those things. But most importantly, if you are found not guilty, you can come back and sue the state and make sure they pay you for the pain and suffering and all of the money that you're spending in the litigation.
Do we know if there was a warrant of arrest? I know her lawyers were arguing that, well, there actually wasn't a warrant of arrest because they didn't find anything. That search warrant was, as you're saying, was an issue. And I don't know whether, you know, where we stand now, do we know if there is a warrant of arrest?
I think that the NPA will not engage in something which is reckless like that. It will go to a person's property, basically break the rights of privacy without proper procedures having been followed and running the risk of whatever information that you may find being deemed unadmissible as evidence. It's something which the NPA would engage in very limitedly. I don't even think they would do that. It's like basically throwing away your whole case if you want to engage in this irregular step, unless there are other ulterior motives in which you have doing the particular search and seizure process. Ordinarily, whenever search and seizure process is granted, it is done in front of a magistrate after evidence has been provided through an affidavit by a person within the NPA who is going to level and state all the facts and create a criminal factor case against the person who the search warrant is being requested. And the most important has been, we so believe that the information that we need so that we're able to investigate and prosecute this individual, it is in that house. We are going to go and meet them and collect it and be able to make sure that we're able to secure it. At a later stage, whether it was obtained properly, whether the chain of evidence was handled properly, is something which is going to be ventilated within the main trial.
So, I mean, the one thing that the legal team was saying over and over again, you know, protect us. How do we know that when we leave here, you know, we'll be protected? Are they protected? I mean, I'm not sure. We still have to hear what the judge has to say.
I think they were trying to get an interim order in terms of the protection. So it was a way of saying, at least if we're not able to win outright, give us that interim protection so that we know that we won't be arrested at night.
Mm-hmm.
As we speak, there's no protection. There's no interdict that is there.
Mm.
I doubt, though, that even the NPA would want to engage in any reckless arrest of any individual unless they are of the opinion that this person is going to skip the country. There are principal reasons of why that has been taking place and there's evidence of such. And only then would they engage. So for now, I think they're going to say, as much as we didn't arrest you last week, we are still continuing with that fact, but just know that after we've analyzed the evidence and when we are ready to arrest you and present a formidable case in court, only then are we going to come and effect that arrest.
So were you convinced by her legal arguments?
Not at all. But on two bases. There is a standard resolution process, a dispute resolution process, which are available, which is the courts. The Criminal Procedure Act is very clear as to how those things are done. You have to wait up until you are arrested. You can't say, I want to deal with my punishment now because I know this is going to come at a later stage. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that is there. And then secondly, there's no irreparable harm which is going to be suffered. Irreparable in this sense, it's not a matter of life and death. People get accused every single day of committing crimes and they get away or are found not guilty and they're able to sort of wash
their
recourse,
name.
Yeah, so if that is available, then why do you want to jump the queue? Why do you want to provide an interdict basically saying, do not prosecute me because this prosecution has ulterior motives? Let the court decide that and not an urgent application.
And so for now, she could be quite uneasy because we don't really know, you know, what may happen between now and next week. Although, as you're saying, maybe the NPA will just kind of wait it out and actually do a thorough job of getting all the evidence they need and then take it from there.
I think they will do that just to show that it's a bona fide investigation that is taking place, bona fide prosecution which is taking place, unless though they have information that the person is about to abscond. They're not going to let that happen. If you know cases like that of Bushiri and all the others that have skipped the country, you do not want to have another scandal which is going to rot. So it's important that you're able to deal with those issues now. But for now, I think there is an indirect or gentleman's undertaking to say no arrest is going to take place up until the court has decided.
Thank you very much for that. We'll keep an eye on that story. Legal expert Mpumelelo Zikalala, thank you very much for that. I appreciate your take.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.